Really quick. Say spiritual successor with me in unison. 3, 2, 1.
Right. Spiritual successor.
You didn't do it.
No, I didn't.
Now our astral paths are all fucked up now, and
it's okay. It's okay. We can realign. You just have to resonate with me.
I don't. Harmonize with me. 3, 2, 1. All right, cool.
I think we're good. Are we realigned?
I think we're realigned now.
Are our souls synced up?
I think our souls are synced up. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your stanky, awful, gross, and amazing video game titles and turn them into the next AAA video games. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I am your other host, AJ Hart.
Dude, I think you and I are like really in sync now. I think you and I are like one on an astral level. And I feel you in my brain just jostling around in there.
There's so much room in here. You told me to climb in here into your brain and see what was going on, but like, dog, it is so roomy in here. I don't know if it's supposed to be. Check, there's a fucking echo.
No thoughts, head empty. Hey, man, that's what
there's
you get.
Nothing in here, dude.
Himbo gamer tunes for your wild afternoons, boyo.
There is this like pretty like. There's a marble down here.
Statuesque statue.
No statues, just a marble. Just like
a lumberjack.
3-inch marble in here. It's smooth as fuck, dog.
A 3-inch marble? What are you talking about?
I'm saying your brain is tiny and smooth.
Tiny and smooth?
They're like a marble in here.
Oh, I thought you meant marble as in like, you know, like a marble statue or like a marble mausoleum. Oh,
like it's a little white smooth orb.
It's a smooth...
Can I get out of your brain now? It sucks in here.
Yeah,
it's
stuffy. Get out of my brain. Get out of my brain because we got podcasting to do. We got shit to do. Actually, speaking of which, I don't know if you saw it in my brain while you were in there, but there is a big list of people I have vendettas with in there, and it's very, very long. It has like 3 people on it. Now it has a 4th person on it.
Okay, who's the 4th now? Wait, do you want to go ahead and run down who's the top 3?
No, I don't want to, because it'll piss off a lot of people.
All right. I can't believe you want to attack.
I want to attack
Hollywood icon. Keanu Reeves.
Are you still in my? No, fuck you. I would never hate on Keanu Reeves. That man is a treasure. That man is like gives me hope for the entertainment.
He's at the
industry.
Top of your list.
No, he's not at the top of my list. Maybe he's at the top of my list of the dudes I want to be friends with. Maybe. But the list looks very similar. I should have put a title at the top of each list.
They are just 2 lists.
I know. I didn't imagine anybody was going to be in my brain and was like looking. Oh, is this the list that he hates of people, or is this the list of the people that he really like cares for? I should have titled it. That is on me. Empty brain, no thoughts. You know what I mean? I don't plan ahead.
Why am I on both lists?
You and I have a complicated relationship, and I didn't want you to find out this way, but. Now you know.
So who's new to this list?
So me and my brother, because AJ knows, but everybody else, it's my birthday today. And I am so happy to be recording on my birthday because this is what I want to give back and help people be entertained and be happy. And
so if you're listening
to
this, tweet at Blake, happy birthday.
Yeah,
whenever it is that you heard this, just, you know, give him a tweet. Happy birthday, Blake.
Oh, God. I would, you know, hey, that'd be very sweet. I wouldn't be opposed to it. So me and my brother were, we both got Oculus Quest 2s. So he and I were playing a bunch of Rec Room last night. So he and I spawn into this dodgeball court, and there's just this one, like, 9 or 10-year-old kid named Hot Flamingo 936. And I went in there, and Trevor and I were like, oh, we're going to have an easy time. We're gonna play some dodgeball. We're going to, like, whoop this kid's ass. This kid whooped us. We played 3 games with this kid, and we couldn't get him once, AJ. This 10-year-old kid... just, it was like Neo in the Matrix. He's like, I know Kung Fu, but it's I know dodgeball. And he just like, he did like these crazy tactics of like a meet at the beginning of every game, sprinting towards the center, grabbing a ball and like doing this weird, like slide on his knees move and ducking and just throwing it up at us. Cause Trevor and I are such tall doofuses. And Hot Flamingo 936, you're on my list now. And I'm using my tiny platform to create a vendetta. If any of you see this kid in Hot Flamingo 936, tell him he did a good job, because beating my ass in dodgeball was a really cool feat.
I'm so glad that that turned into like you wanting to congratulate your new rival, because I was really concerned that you were about to put like a dodgeball hit on a 10-year-old.
No, I want everybody to know I have a dodgeball rivalry with a 10-year-old child.
But like a cool rivalry. Like a grown-ass man that's about to like just like start some real world beef with this child, right? Like, you're not on some Keemstar shit, are you?
No. It's fucking Rec Room.
I just wanted you to know that, like, if you were, I would support you. Like, I will go to war with a 10-year-old for you.
Hey, okay. Here's
I'm ride or die.
Here's all I'm saying. I want to use this little platform as, like, I want them to show up at their next dodgeball game and cheer for me and, like, maybe mad dog this 10-year-old child with me. I don't want to wish this kid harm. They're a cool kid. But I do want them to lose tremendously.
Okay, you're looking for like a sportsman-like rivalry with this child.
I want to destroy this child in VR dodgeball is what.
But
I'm
also
saying.
Tell them that they did a very good job. Okay.
So
a complicated relationship. I'm seeing that this 10-year-old is on both lists also.
See, there'd be a 90s anime out of it. You know, you think of Ash Ketchum and Gary playing dodgeball. They'd have
Gary
this
was also a 10-year-old lad.
Really? I thought he was older than Ash. He looked like...
Well, he did drive and he did have girls in his car, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like not 10 years old. Gary's a kind of an asshole now that
Is
I think
Gary
about
a grown-ass man starting Gary's... beef with a 10-year-old boy?
Yeah. Gary got into the Pokemon training like scene pretty late in his life. And then that's why he was there with Ash to also get his Pokemon. And then... It's like, hey, 10-year-old kid, I'm gonna be better than you will ever be. Like,
it
he drives off his
10
Lamborghini.
Years old still.
Really? Why is he driving a fucking car? Why?
I don't know about that, but
we
can only assume that he's hanging out with all of his.
No, I have a very solid memory of him in like a red 90s Lamborghini or like some sort of like sports car. Gary, Pokemon, car. Yeah, he's in a fucking car, dude.
Yeah, and he has like 6 cheerleaders. I assume one for each of his Pokemon. But we don't have any reason to believe that he's older than 10.
Actually, wait a second. Hold on. He is in a car, but I am never seeing him in the driver's seat. He just has...
Oh, God, is he always just being driven around by one of his cheerleaders?
He just has hot women driving him around to all of his Pokemon battles. What the fuck? Yeah, he's always in the passenger seat. What is happening? What is happening?
King shit.
This 10-year-old kid. God, I hate this. I hate Gary so much. He's that rival. He's the ultimate rival energy I want in my life.
I'm sorry. So who do you want to be in this allegory? Do you want to be Gary or Ash Ketchum?
I want to be Ash Ketchum is what I'm saying. I want that kind of rival.
And Flamenco 63 is, of course, the 10-year-old that has 6 cheerleaders all rooting for him saying, yeah, we love you, Flamenco 63.
I mean, but in this, I guess in this scenario, I am Gary, aren't I? Because I'm the older person, like, trying to start
beef with
the
child. No, we just went over this. Gary is also a 10-year-old boy.
I will not believe that he is a 10-year-old child. I do not believe it. It is not possible in my eyes here. Like, it just has a. You're telling me this 10-year-old child has a car? Oh my god! Like, I'm looking at this picture.
No,
of him
I'm telling you that one of. I'm telling you that
women.
One of. I'm telling
what is
you
happening?
That one of this 10-year-old's friends has a car that drives him around.
God, I hate this. I hate this child.
Is it possible that Gary is just like someone's like punk cousin that hangs out? Like, that's just a group of like 6 legitimate friends, and they're one of their cousins, like their little cousin that just hangs out there.
The one who's always driving is his like older cousin, and he's like, I guess we'll just hang out with this kid. Oh, you think it's much more wholesome than like a bunch of adult women crushing on this 10-year-old child?
Yeah, I'm thinking that someone's just stuck with their like kid relative, and they're just like, they're gonna come with us, and I guess they're like really good at Pokemon battles, so like we'll just be their hype man, I guess.
So basically what you're saying, because Gary is Professor Oak's nephew. Uh-huh. So you're saying Professor Oak was like, hey, Gary is really insecure about his existence as a Pokemon trainer. Can you like maybe be a good like older cousin to him, please?
Yeah, Professor Oak went to his daughter, Trina Oak.
Trina Oak. Okay.
And said, hey, Trina, look, Gary, Ah, well, I thought his name was Gary. It turns out his name has been changed to Fart. So I need you to take Fart out, and you need to just, like, hang out with him for a little while. He's really just not doing
really
too
lonely,
good these days,
like,
and you need to hang out with
plus
him.
Plus, he failed his driver's license test because he's 10.
His 10-year-old driver's license test.
He's tried to take it multiple times, but they keep telling him he needs to be 16, and he's really taken that personally.
And Trina's like, I don't want to hang out with Fart, okay? His name sucks.
You're telling me I need to travel across the country with him for upwards of 9 months? Grandpa, I love you. I don't love you that much. Gary's a shit.
I hate Fart so much.
All right. Enough of this. We should get into some game design.
All right, let's do it. All right, you have a video game for me then? Ready to jump into this?
I want you to give me a game submission. I'm the birthday boy. I'm the one. I'm looking for the nasty game, and you usually give the good ones.
This comes from Mason, at Generic Mason on Twitter. A spooky game about avoiding death on Halloween. Something about costumes makes it harder for the Grim Reaper to find you.
So, is it supposed to be... I'm trying to think of a game where you're kind of stealthing around... Is this an open world thing, and you're stealthing around it? Or is it like you're going from... Oh, are you going from like...
Here's what it is. Like This is an obstacle course game with like lots and lots of like dangerous obstacles, right? That are going to harm you. Maybe you're like trying to get to the other side of the building, but you can
I love
sprint
Fall Guys.
Full
it's just
speed
as
out
much
a wall
as you.
And blast through the wall. No, not like Fall Guys. No. There's this other game that I'm imagining, like a isometric camera angle, and like you're at like an office place, and you have like a little objective that's just like get to the third story. But as you go up the third story, maybe there's like window pane movers that'll like move window panes through that you have to like bust through the glass. Maybe someone could drop an anvil. And anytime you hit a like obstacle, your character would pass away horribly. Mm-hmm. But they're wearing a costume. They're dressed up as a Power Ranger. And so they run through the wall. They get an anvil dropped on them. Boom. That Power Ranger is dead. And now the Grim Reaper's on his way.
See, the thing that's
you have to change your costume and continue your obstacle course run before the Grim Reaper finds you. I think that there's constantly a hunter that's behind you during this obstacle course run. And when you swap a costume, your like Grim Reaper heat drops lower.
So, okay. So I want to do a thing because I think the game needs a little bit more stank. I think the obstacle course is fun, but I feel your costume needs to change every level, let's say. There is, at the beginning of every level, your costume is either nullified or taken away. You reset. You have to figure out a way to steal a costume from somebody in that area first, and then you can get through the obstacle course. So each level has two stages. One, you have to figure out Hitman style how to take somebody out and take their costume, and then you have to do an obstacle course with that costume. Because you'll
All the while, the Grim Reaper is on his way. Like, you need to get that costume as soon as possible. Because if you don't swap soon, Grim Reaper's going to get you.
You know, it'd be really funny. What if it's not the Grim Reaper, but it's, like, somebody who looks like the Grim Reaper? There was this really... I think it was called Upon Death or Until Death or something, where it was just the Grim Reaper in this game was, like, a teenage girl with a hoodie and a scythe, and, like, she's a skeleton. So it's like somebody dressed up like the Grim Reaper, and you think, oh, that's not going to be nonchalant. That's not going to be a problem. And then they walk towards you, and then they go full green fire, like scythe, and cut your head off, and then like take your soul with you. So it's like it looks normal. It looks like somebody in a costume, but then you realize, oh, that's actually the Grim Reaper.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, because then like when they're like close, they just like transform, and like the tension rises for the player. I like that. I can dig that.
You know what this game kind of reminds me of, too, that we could potentially take an angle? Did you ever play Supercuts?
No.
Okay, Supercuts is a VR game, a VR, like, espionage would be a good way of describing it, where you are trying to escape your business complex while the robots in the building are hunting you. And all you have on you is, like, a teleportation gun and throwing knives. And then you kind of have to just sneak around, avoid robots, kill them when you can. And then there's this whole unfolding plot of like, you know, the boss is like.
So how would that come into play? Because I am imagining something that's like an isometric level where you're trying to get through.
Well, the moment you are saying you're trying to hide from something, it to me feels like you're introducing a stealth mechanic, right? Yeah. Or is this just a...
No, I think there could be a stealth mechanic. Who doesn't love stealth mechanics in isometric games? It sounds infuriating and I'm all about it.
Well, I mean, in the sense of like... they're running from something. So like, is it there's two ways we can go about it. Is it going to be the Grim Reaper character is doing a set, not a set like path, but is going about each level and you're trying to avoid their path? Or is it going to be like you're on a 2D side scroller platformer thing where you're just like running from point A to point B while the darkness or the Grim Reaper is slowly getting closer to you over the course of the level?
I like the idea of it being like on a path.
Okay. So how
it can react to distractions and stuff, right? So like if you leave your costume on the floor somewhere, maybe the Grim Reaper will walk over and be like, "Ah, Green Power Ranger, I have found you. Prepare to..." "Oh, you're just a bag on the floor. Okay. Moving on then."
Okay. I'm trying to figure out, like, what does the gameplay look like then? Is it just, like, a series of time events? Is it a side-scroller? Is it, like, a top-down version of Mario?
It's that like, top-down isometric camera angle like Hades. And it's all, like, little level progression-based. I think maybe, like, you have a couple levels where you have an objective of, like, oh, keep... Maybe it's like continuously generating as you just are continuing to run away from the Reaper.
Mm-hmm. I guess that would be, if you were to do a roguelike sort of runner, like a rogue, like a rogue runner, basically. That'd be kind of a cool name.
An endless runner. Yeah. Okay.
An endless runner. It was like, maybe, wasn't that what was Mario, like Mario Running was, or Mario?
Yeah, but
Runner.
That was a side scroller. And I'm staunchly anti side scroller in this, because if we want to have stealth mechanics and we want to have obstacles, I think that we need to have our character running around in a 3D environment.
Okay. So how about this? So if we're doing a runner, are you able to collect different costumes with different powers that give you different abilities? Is that like, because you have to lean into the costume aesthetic. And also the original submission, I do want to say something about, like they did say something about the costumes confuses the Grim Reaper, right?
Yeah, that's why I want to add this idea of like a heat bar.
So it could...
The more obstacles things that you've hit and like been crushed to death by, the faster the Grim Reaper is. You swap the costume and you're going to get... The Grim Reaper slows down once you swap costumes.
Okay, so what does that look like? Is it just you run by somebody and press A and then now you have a new costume? Like I'm having a difficult time seeing what the gameplay loop of this is, and it also doesn't sound very fun.
In order to get a costume, maybe you have like a little like puzzle you have to solve to like steal someone's costume.
Oh, okay.
And that
now
would slow you down.
Now you got me, because you know what that high is writing for me? It's like when you're doing the download section of Among Us and you're like, is somebody going to fucking kill me in this big window? There's that tension of like, do I have enough time to do this task before the Grim Reaper fucking gets me? So it becomes like, it's like, if you can do it right as the Grim, if you can solve that puzzle right as the Grim Reaper touches you, it does give you like 20 seconds. So like, they could be right behind you, but if you successfully get that costume, the Grim Reaper just passes you. And then suddenly, like, magically, they're behind you again when you start running.
Exactly. Like I want this push and pull of difficult 3D platforming.
Okay.
And having to do some sort of logic puzzle to get a new costume. But, like, if you fail too much, then the Grim Reaper's going to be incredibly fast. So if you go to steal a costume, the game loads up a Sudoku problem. And you're like, I don't know if I can solve this in 6 seconds. We need to keep running.
Okay. This sounds fun, but I want to put some stank on it. And you know what I love? You know what, like, something no game has done, and I really want them to fucking... Actually, some games have done it, but I think we can do it better. You could be in the middle of playing your game, and you have your controller, or you have your keyboard... but the moment you get to a puzzle, you have to pull out your phone and solve the puzzle on your phone or on your tablet. So it's a dance of having to drop your controller, pick up your tablet. Oh, fuck, you forgot you put a lock on your tablet. Now you need to do the little like swiggly line or type in a code. And then you need to wait for the game, for the like app to connect with the app again. And that's just tension.
You
want to
gamify
time. The
Destiny app.
I want to gamify the Destiny app. I want to gamify. Didn't Fallout do something like that too?
Probably. Fallout 4.
Yeah, Fallout 4 did something like that. I want to gamify that process. And I want it to be as shitty as playing most games on tablets.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could I could dig that. All of the puzzles are on a tablet. All of the puzzles to swap costumes in game are on an app game that is entirely just a puzzle based app.
And you know what we could do is also to really put some stank on this. You know, because now it is technically a tablet game. I've been playing this one Cthulhu game where it's like a choose your own adventure sort of thing on a tablet. Did you know one of the ways that game companies make tablet game companies make money is you only get X amount of tries a day. If you died and used up all your tries, you can always buy more tries, man. You can always buy more uses. So basically, every time you die in this game, it counts towards your daily total of tries that you can play this game. Because, like, imagine Hades.
Expecting you to go with the advertisement route. That every time you tried to take a puzzle, you had to watch a little advertisement.
Okay, you have the option. But see, that's the great thing about those games. You can also do that route. You can do, like, hey, watch this 3-minute advertisement or pay $9.99. Or not $9.99, but 99 cents. Because,
$9.99 gives you the premium version where you don't have to deal with ads on your tablet.
You're right. And that's on top of the $25 like entry or Steam price is like $19.99.
Yeah, the game itself is $20 on Steam. The app game is another $10 on the tablet.
Also, you want to know something fucked up? Speaking of like additional prices, I bought myself an Amazon like Fire HD thing, like the 10-inch tablet. Mm-hmm. You can buy one for $100. Or you can buy one for $110. Okay. And you know what the difference between the two is?
What could the difference possibly be?
For the $100 model, you get a tablet that has ads on the lock screen every time you use it.
What?
Yeah, that's like a legit thing. And then if you want to take that off...
No, this is a parody, right? You're kidding me.
No, this is like a legit thing. Here, let me open it right now. I usually get ads for I'm getting an ad for Kraft Singles right now. A steaming grilled cheese sandwich with Kraft Singles behind it.
HD 10 lock screen. There is no opt-out button. Instead, you need to head to Amazon.com, log in to manage your account, find the HD tablet, click actions next to do it from the menu. What?
It's a fucking thing, dude. And I noticed that and I'm like, man, like I saved $10, but at what cost? At what real cost, right? And I want
I have a question for you. Are you getting like the same ad over and over again? Because like I listen to Spotify these days and I don't pay for Spotify. I know, pretty cringe. But I have to listen to the same Taco Bell ad like 18 times a day.
Oh, no. Weirdly enough, on Spotify, my ads are just like quit smoking, which is weird because I've never smoked in my life. But I keep getting, hey, it's time to stop smoking ads.
It's time to stop smoking, Blake Rhea.
It's so weird. But like, I want to take that same energy and apply it to this game, to where there's like, it's like advertise it as, hey, a $20 roguelike runner, but then you find out, oh no, it's actually $30 if you want to turn off all of the ads. But even if you turn off all of the ads, actually no, you can buy unlimited uses. We just get that extra
$10. Extra $10.
And then there we go. An extra $10. So this game. And then maybe, you know, it would be so fucking funny.
If we put a pin in it and moved on to the next game.
Yes, if we put a pin in it. I do think there is some more fun things to talk about there. Let me grab you a game.
All right. Go grab me a game off your shelf. What games do you got?
My game off my shelf. My heavy game. All right. This one comes to us from Caleb All Day and Bay Martin. Is it this? I butchered the fuck out of that, Caleb. I apologize. Suburban Dad Simulator. I don't know what the gameplay will look like, but one of the things I need to have in this game is that part of the collectathon is cool Hawaiian shirts. I don't have much else beyond that. It could be a limited open world. We're like Goat Simulator, but you're like a dad, and you just get into really weird dad shenanigans. It could be a thing like Happy Trails or whatever that one... That one game where it's you're a dad.
Hey, really quick, I just want to, not to get too distracted, but like we talked a little bit about this like a couple weeks ago. How the fuck has there not been like a limited open world game? You mentioned Goat Simulator, but like my immediate thought was, and this goes back to the Lumberjack Simulator, the little lumberjack.
Oh, that game was right.
How have people not taken like a Grand Theft Auto game and shrunken it down to a digestible point and like been like, boom, there's your limited open world game? Because I think that's what we're imagining right now. With
isn't
this
that Yaku- isn't that Yakuza basically?
Holy fuck, you're right.
Yakuza's just the limited Grand Theft Auto, man.
I mean, it's very different, but yeah, it kind of, it is that idea of like, oh, we're in the city. We're going to climb into these buildings. We're going to go up and down the elevators. You're so fucking right.
Yeah, dude.
Fuck.
I'm a fucking gamer. Like, fuck, dude. Haven't you so seen, you want, haven't you, you seen
okay,
my Twitter?
So what you're proposing is a limited, you're proposing a Yakuza-esque game about being a Hawaii, about Wait, being
on,
a dad.
Hold on. You just said the fucking key phrase. You said Yakuza Dad Simulator. And I think, AJ, because there is that, I don't remember the name of it, but there is that anime or live action TV series about a dad who stays at home, who is an ex-Yakuza member. So I'm thinking we do something Yakuza-esque, but instead of a collaboration of like a bunch of active Yakuza members, it's just a bunch of dads in this cul-de-sac who are from like ex-various gangs. And what are the shenanigans they would get into? What are the things, how are old things from their life coming back to haunt them? Or is it like, how would a Yakuza dad handle a school bully? You know, like it's just that kind of, just like this
how
very
does the mafia deal with the with little
yeah,
Timmy,
I don't,
the
I
bully
don't want,
next door.
I don't want them to because they are ex like you know like crime
ex-gang members.
So they're not going to like add. They're not going to like kill anybody. They're not going to like do anything bad. But they'll like. I'm saying they will interrogate this. They will show up at the school and interrogate this kid Yakuza style, not Yakuza as in like the gang Yakuza, but the overt extraness that is the Yakuza games. Now imagine yeah. that, but if it's like fucking just a dad in a Hawaiian shirt with like the top button open and their hair greased back and they have like cargo shorts on. Just
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're imagining something like it's like dads, right? Like
yes.
it's like dungeon
yes.
like Dungeons and Daddies.
The Dungeons
dad
and Daddies
tropes,
cast.
Right?
Yes.
Crunchy Munchy
yes.
dad, stay at home coach dad.
The
rock
the
and roll
smoking,
dad.
Yeah, rock and roll dad. And then you have
you know, the
stepdad,
same
dads,
the, and then the vampire stepdad. Dad, all the same dad archetypes that we saw in Dream Daddy as well. But now you want to put them in an open world, a
limited open world. It's a cul-de-sac that is right next to the school. It's one of those like neighborhoods.
I would argue I want to give them a whole small town.
You want to give them
but a very
small
town.
Town,
like a small town, like what
like
actual,
Salem,
like, kind
Oregon.
Of rural America looks like, not Salem, Oregon. I'm talking like fucking like.
New
St.
England
Helens,
style?
Oregon, Warren. I'm talking like, what's another, like small towns that you've never fucking heard of, except like maybe a professional football player like came from there. Scappoose. Like little itty bitty fucking baby towns that you're like, what is this place?
We call it itty bittyville. Itty bittyville. Nowheresville. Nowheresville.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking like a small town like, oh, who's the guy? Oh, I don't want to do that.
Everybody knows each other. Like, oh, you talking about Napoleon Dynamite, that kind
yeah,
of
yeah, like a Napoleon Dynamite ass town. Like,
oh, where it's just like there's one diner, one school, and a bowling alley, and that's
yes,
really about it.
Yes, a small town where like you have central hub points, right? There's the 24-hour Walmart. There's the bowling alley. There's the singular gym in town. You have a high school, you have a middle school,
but
and you have a kindergarten.
But strangely, there is a Subway on every corner, and I just don't know why.
Thank you for that sweet St. Helens hometown tip.
I remember things you say, man. I care about you.
You know what I mean? Like, let's put a bunch of dads, or like, you are a dad in this small town. There's a couple coffee shops or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're the new dad in town.
Uh-huh. Oh my god.
So you're introduced to this world.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I need to make sure that I don't just take Dream Daddy and turn it into a 3D open world that you can explore in. Help me out.
Let's say it's not about there's no dating involved. That way we can kind of drop the Dream Daddy thing.
It is about you come into town, you have 3 kids. Your goal is to help your 3 kids live their best lives.
Oh, AJ, hold on. If we want to add a little bit of spicy drama to this. This is like a dad who was ex-crime, let's say. And as the game goes on, we find out all of the other dads are like the reason this town exists is because this is where they sent like crime dads to like go like to restart their lives or whatever. This is a dad who's like maybe just got out of like a year of prison or something, and he's coming back to his family. That's why this game is beginning where it is, because he's coming back to what he has, and now it's just like him living his life and reconnecting with his kids. Like, say he has a daughter that's really fucking cool, or like is doing something. Well, that is just Dream Daddy, isn't it?
No, okay, hold on. You're onto something. Because okay, here's what it is. Because you're right, I do want to take like the melodramatic things of Yakuza, right? I
want to because like, there's heavy interpersonal lights.
I
want to
have
drama.
Over the top music. I want to have like real deep scenes. But I want this dad to be trying to. I want to have like harsh lighting and dramatic moments as this dad is trying to figure out what the fuck a Pokemon card is for his little kindergartner he's child.
He's doing Pokemon Go and like maybe with his kid, and then they just come across like another dad and their kid, and there's just this really dramatic battle of each of them trying to catch the Pokemon before the other one does. I know that's not how Pokemon Go works, but like. Let's just say that'll be how this fictional game in our fictional game works. Yeah, it's like only one person gets it. So like these dads are like having this weird psychic battle like internally
in
with each other.
The kid will be like playing Pokemon Go and it's like, oh no, the Rattata is running away. And so the dad, your dad scoops the kid up and you're now in like a sprinting mini game where you're trying to chase down this digital Rattata.
But your character can't on their see backs. It.
You just have like tooltips on the screen that point you left or right.
And it's just this, like, just these two fucking yoked dads with their kids on their back, just like doing the Terminator run where they have their hands, like, like that one woman in fucking, I think it's Terminator 3, where she like has her hands completely flat, like diamonds, and she's just like running with them, like robotically on her sides. I don't know, I really don't know how to describe it, but it looks really weird and insane.
Okay, yes, but like you bonding with your littlest kid. I think the way that this game progresses and like goes on is you have three kids all at three different points in your in their lives, and they have their own plot lines. As you continue their plot lines and grow those bonds, like the game evolves from there. You would continue to increase your bond with your littlest by like doing those dumb little things, right? Playing the fake Pokemon Go, taking him out to the playground, making sure that he's like setting up play dates for him. It'd be a lot of mini game based stuff to grow your bonds with the
I know we talk about it like every fucking episode, but one of the things about being a parent, I have no idea about what it really
one of the things
to
about
parent.
As a dad as me as a dad who's never
as
had
an,
a dad
as a guy who has a dad I, as a guy who has played Last of Us, and that's about a dad and daughter relationship, I can say with some certainty some parenting is about scheduling, right? So, like, I know we talk about it every episode, but Deadly Premonition is a good example of this. So, maybe there's some segments, like, in between major events, like, you gotta make sure you show up
for
the game.
There'll be, like,
sure
a week through the thing, right? Like, like, you as the dad will know, like, okay, I know for a fact that, like, my middle kid will always come home later than the rest because my middlest is involved in sports. I know that my oldest is gone on weekends because, of course, they are. They're my oldest kid. They're never going to want to spend the weekend in home.
Here's our game. This game takes place over a month. This is, like, the make it or break it because I'm trying to take
I want
to
give
drama.
It a year. I want to have 52 weeks, 52 loops.
No,
of you.
Because here's the thing. I think this, that if we're trying to lean into
what
that
if it
drama
just goes until
Yakuza,
you finish the game? Like,
well,
what?
No,
what,
no, no.
What's
more
the
specifically,
for?
The backdrop of this game, or let's say, is like you have a month to prove to your family that you want to be a part of their lives and be engaged with them. Because, like, I don't necessarily. Because
you just got out of jail after taking the fall for your brother.
Yeah.
Your character, I want to take the Yakuza route. Your character is absolved of any sin. They were in the gang because of like just like circumstance and being there, right?
They weren't like an actually a bad person, but they
like they took the fall for a hit, and so like they're like, oh yeah, I totally did it. But your character, like we the players know that our character, they're cool, they're fine,
isn't a bad person. Yes,
Kiryu Kazuma's never killed anybody. Yes, he stabbed people in the gut with a knife in the street. Sure, he's bashed them in the head with a police baton. Sure, he's absolutely hit a guy with a car.
I have a strong
feeling. I got to the final in the game and just used a gun through most of the encounter, but Kiryu Kazuma has never killed somebody.
Hold on. I've seen you play Yakuza, and when they're fighting in the street, he's like smashing people's skulls in. When I watch him beat up people, it's like when I watch Batman from the Arkham games beat up people. They're like, oh, they say he's unconscious. Yeah, no, that's something Alfred's doing on Batman's HUD to make him feel better about what he's doing.
I just dropped this dude onto his head from three stories.
Yeah, he's fucking dead, dude. That's how I feel when I watch you beat up people in Yakuza. Like, your fist turns on fire and you just deck a dude in the chin. I'm like, no, that guy's chin is just melted and that guy's dead.
Yakuza, I believe, I don't remember if it was 2 or 0, has a scene pretty early on where you do, like, fight this guy while you're trying to go up a building. And when you hit, like, the 4th story, Kiryu does just throw the guy out the window.
And it's never talked about again. He just doesn't exist. That's what happens when Kiryu fights
people.
That
wasn't a flavor
text one. They just don't exist
anymore. That's, like, that can't be, like, written off as, like, flavor for a street fight, right? That is canon. Kiryu Kazuma, in one of those games, threw a guy outside of the window.
Okay, so are you implying, then... That in
he
our
also
game,
blew
there
up a car on the street, like on the highway with a gun. He blew
up
4 cars.
Okay. Oh God, those guys are dead, dude. So are you implying there's going to be some moments where this guy goes up against other dads and like somehow finds himself in a like... Actually, here's the thing. It's never actually a fight, but there are scenes where there are pseudo fights. So it could be a carnival is in town and they have that one cool game where you stand, where you're like in an inflatable pit, where you each have the baton and are trying to knock each other off of your respective like towers, and that's like a fight scene. That's like a legit like you have to block, you have to knock them off. Oh my God, that would be great because that's kind of late game. You go up against each of the dads you've met so far, and you can see
I
how
love
far
this,
you
like,
can
you're,
get.
You're thinking like mini game boss fights, a la Donkey Kong Bongo Rush, where you go into like a boss fight mini game. I like this very much.
Yes. Oh my God, I
so,
love.
So like
this.
The first one would be easy because you're just learning it, but then by like the final one, we've introduced so many mechanics.
Also, if you don't mind, I would love to just throw one scene at you. It's not gameplay. It's not whatever. I just think Yakuza does that wonderful thing of. I have not played Yakuza, but I've seen you play it. I've watched Let's Players do it. So when they do scenes, they go hard and they make it amazingly dramatic. Like he could be going up against a kid with an RC car and it's just the most intense thing. And it's just he approaches those situations with the same intensity as a street fight.
Yeah.
I want to do a scene where he's like making up with his wife, but it's in the bowling alley. And right as they're like, you know, embracing or dancing or whatever, it goes into, you hear on the intercom, we are now entering cosmic bowling, and then just the black lights come on and there's a spotlight on them from like
that's so nice.
And it's just like, I just take that small town, like the little, like those little things that you would not to say bowling alleys are like a small town aesthetic, but like they kind of are, you know.
Yeah,
like
they're one of the only things that you can do.
Yeah, and like every town's got a bowling alley, basically, and just kind of taking those flavors and then really turning them into this, not like some things won't be romanticized, but some of them will just, all of them need to be turned up to 11, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to like make like, everything is going to feel like it has the weight of the world behind it.
Oh my God. Because let's talk a little bit about being a dad. The weight of the world is on you, man.
Yeah.
That's what being a parent is.
I think that what we have here is like 4 really nice like kind of gameplay systems. We have our mini game system with our youngest. And as you increase the bond with the youngest, you're just doing more and more mini games. You're helping them like, you know, be a kid.
So... Are you
we have like... our middleist, okay, and our middleist is like, they're the athletic one. They're the one that you're probably going to need to do the most scheduling, and probably the kid that is going to give off, this might be the kid that people focus on first, because this, the athlete kid is the one that needs to go around town, needs to hit up the stores for new gear, needs to be taken to the sporting events and the sporting games that they are on every weekend. This is like the kid that probably... holds your hand the most at the beginning because they're just so excited to have dad back. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, let's go check out this place now. Mm-hmm. This is your introductory kid that gives you the real feeling of the world. It's also going to be the kid that probably has the most rivals in town just because they're the athletic kid. This kid would also lend themselves to serving as a cool system to introduce our like relation, rival, other dad system.
Ooh,
we have our oldest, and our oldest is like, you know, they're in high school. Maybe your oldest is looking to get out. And so a lot of what you're dealing with her is like, maybe this is where a lot of the drama takes place. This oldest kid is the one that like, you know, hey, you were gone. I had to step up as I'm trying to get out of this place.
I have an idea for you, by the way, because if we're going that route of scheduling, I think the way this game would work would be It's open world, but you need to be at specific places at specific times, a la Dead Rising. So, hey, you have to kill 3 hours before you pick up your kid. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go meet people? Are you going to go talk to fellow dads? Are you going to go to the bowling alley and play an arcade game?
Oh, what do you to kill time?
Yeah, and because I think like one thing that would be really fun, like just really quickly, because I just love the idea of like showing skills advance over time. You come back to, because I'm trying to think of what's a job that doesn't require you to be there 9 to 5. I think construction work or contract work. So like every day you get a construction job where you have to go to a specific place in the town and handle that construction job. But at the beginning of the game, you're fucking terrible at it. So like when the job is finished and your dad is like, oh, that was a good one, I'm going to go have a beer after this. And you just look at his work and it's like, why is there a tarp for a roof? Why is there,
over the course of the game, the little cinematic that shows him working starts from, oh, my work, like me doing work for 1 hour puts a tarp down. And by the end of it, like going to work for 1 hour, he builds a whole house.
Yeah. Like that's,
he's gaining like a real, like that's just in the back, end.
Cause it feels satisfying. Like every time you do it, one, you get more money to where it'd be like, and you're going to need to do those jobs. Right. Because it's like, hey, my kid is going to, they're doing the Sadie Hawkins dance and they want to have, she wants to have a really kick-ass suit. For that event. So you got to be like, oh man, I got to raise X amount of money to rent this suit for her, you know, or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like you will need money for different parts of the game is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Let's put a pin in this. Let's see if we can squeeze in a third game this week.
All right. Give me a game idea, brother.
So I thought I had another one, but I don't think I do actually. Do you got one for me?
I do have another one for you.
This at least here's the thing. We're in Nug territory. Right. I don't know if I've got another one that's going to compete. You know what I mean? We've got plenty of submissions. I just want to make sure that we've got one that's going to compete with the heat that we've thrown down so far.
All right. I got one for you on Twitter from Mason at Generic Mason. A hard-boiled detective game where the main character is a duck, a la Gravity Falls. So Duck Detective, the game, basically.
Oh, hell
so
yeah.
I think I want to take the mechanics of L.A. Noire, because everybody loved that game, but do it from the perspective of a duck. So
might
it
I
like
suggest?
A... Uh huh.
Donald.
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 Donald. Donald Duck.
Donald Duck. Yes, Donald the Duck.
Okay, you have me. Is it Donald Duck from Kingdom Hearts or Donald Duck from the shorts?
Donald Duck from the shorts, because I think Donald Duck from the shorts is more likely to, you know, smoke a cigar and be mean.
You know, it's so weird. I was just thinking the same thing. I'm like, can I picture Donald Duck smoking a cigar for this? I'm like, yeah, I can. And the fact that you mentioned a cigar, I'm like,
I want to clarify also that you and I, without even noticing it, we have partitioned the Donald Ducks, correct? Like, there's Kingdom Hearts Donald Duck, and then there's Donald Duck, yeah, and there's separate universes. Separate.
They are very separate people.
Like, Donald Duck Kingdom Hearts is all about friendship, and he's a little rough around the edges, but he loves his friends, and he's one of the three half-pints.
Bro, what's more friendship than token up a big fat cigar with the with your friends?
Donald Duck Kingdom Hearts would never smoke. Ever. He'd be like, that's bad for you.
he just shows up in the Pirates of the Caribbean world and is like, where's the rum? And just fucking lights up a long-ass pipe.
If we had animated cartoon Donald Duck, Sora would be like constantly disgusted by him. Can you imagine Sora? Like Donald Duck, mean Donald Duck comes in. Is just mean to everybody,
hey,
punches
friend,
somebody, and then takes a whole
hey, friend,
cigar in one
drink. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like I grew up on cables, like or not cable or whatever ones where it's like it's the free TV basically.
Yeah.
And that always played a lot of classic like Warner Brothers cartoons, old like Disney cartoons and things like that. And like early Donald Duck and like early everybody from the Warner Brothers cast kind of did some they smoked, they drank. They went to parties and did really rambunctious things. So it's not, I'm not too far gone from that. You know what I mean? Like for this game.
What we're just saying really quick, Donald Duck is in fact a caricature of just delving into all of your own vices. Donald Duck existed as the aid of humanity.
Oh my god. I also want to mention the cartoons from that time were also very problematic.
Oh yeah, so, no, that's the other thing. Is Donald like, Duck that's the why thing. There need to be different yeah. people is because Donald Duck Kingdom Hearts would never be mean and racist.
It's very, very weird. And maybe this might not be the best angle to take it, you know what I mean? So let's put Warner Brothers, let's put animated shorts on the shelf. Could we do a noir Kingdom Hearts spinoff starring Donald Duck and his partner Goofy? And maybe the beginning of the game, like any good noir, is that that Donald Duck's partner gets shot and dies. And that's Goofy. or we just take the Prosy D route where it's Donald Duck instead of Mickey. And it's like Goofy is like a mole, is a fake agent. And then the opening scene is that Prosy D skit. Like, you can't.
It won't work, Blake. I understand your idea, but here's the thing. In the Kingdom Hearts verse, we've already seen Goofy get blasted to what we thought was his death. And Donald Duck stayed cool and calm under that situation. The person that wanted to get vengeance was, in fact, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, okay.
So we can't do a noir starring Kingdom Hearts Donald Duck, because when losing a friend, he's calm, he's collected, he looks at what needs to happen. He won't be driven by rage.
That makes it 10 times more interesting to me. You know why? Is because Donald Duck has always been kind of the Watson to Mickey Mouse's Sherlock. So what I'm saying is...
Specifically the Kingdom Hearts verse. I want to...
Yes, yeah. Well, no, I mean, in any universe, I think Donald Duck has always played second fiddle to Mickey Mouse, right?
Yes, but not in, like, a cool, like, Sherlock Watson way. More like in a...
Donald Duck
and Mickey Mouse were not friends.
I mean, I kind of think they are. They kind of... Mickey Mouse does treat Donald Duck pretty shitty, doesn't he?
They were mean to each other.
Okay, we'll figure out the semantics later.
The Kingdom Hearts verse needs to be thought of completely different than the animated cartoons, Blake. I cannot stress this enough.
What I'm saying is it would make a very interesting detective story from the perspective of Donald Duck. He is Mickey Mouse's partner. This is after Goofy's death, so his partner, Mickey Mouse, is like unhinged. He's becoming kind of a dirty cop. And that's that works, right? It's like, what is the moral dilemma of, like, I have this partner who's starting to do things not by the book, and maybe they're private investigators, so they're not cops, but they're private investigators.
Yeah,
so
but now Mickey's like breaking laws more so than they would, like, normally they would skirt around the laws to get what they needed, but now, like, mm-hmm, Mickey Mouse mm-hmm. is like giving threats and like actual intimidation tactics. Yeah. And Donald Duck is like, Mickey, we gotta chill, dude.
Mickey,
like,
I want this just as bad as you.
I want to find out what happened to Goofy, but this is not the way to do it. He would, of course, say it like Donald Duck, but I'm not subjugating our audience to that.
I just tried doing it, and it just sounded like I just talking for the back.
We're not doing this.
Donald Duck is hard. Donald Duck is hard. Okay. So there you go. There's that story. We're ready to talk about Nugs.
Let's talk about a Nug. And I think we're finally doing it. I think we're finally, after skirting around doing them for so long, we're finally going to release our limited open world game mm-hmm. about a stay-at-home dad. Well, mm-hmm. newly contract construction worker, mm-hmm. ex-gang member, being reintroduced to his family after spending a couple years in prison after taking the fall for his gang and mm-hmm. not being welcomed back into their ranks.
Yeah.
Maybe right, he didn't AJ, even AJ, try. Real, Maybe he took AJ, the fall really and quick. Just said, I'm gonna be clean now.
Really quickly, before we go to our Nug, we should play our trailer from last week, huh?
We forgot to do it again.
We forgot to do it again because we're foolish fools. You and I got so in the thick of it talking about Hot Flamingo. Like, my vendetta has ruined us.
You are just like Mickey Mouse, aren't you?
my mind is slowly breaking. I'm
unhinged, driven only by vengeance, just like Mickey Mouse.
Here's the trailer for last week's game. We hope you enjoy it.
Spiritual Successor Games.
Ugh, cornered. Shit, it's empty. All right, Ugly, I've got two fully loaded fists and I'm ready to go.
Hello?
Hey, Chris, it's me, Leon.
Oh, what's up?
What's up? You busy right now?
Oh, you know, same old, running for my life in a forgotten village. Hey, you don't look like a zombie.
Wait, are they mutating again?
Yeah, he was like totes hairy and had claws. I suplexed it, though.
Bro, nice. You arch your back and tighten those glutes like I showed you?
Oh, man, of course. I always love your advice, bro.
I love you, bro.
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 Hey, Leon, I'm gonna need to call you back.
Sounds good. Smell you later, nerd. Leon out.
Werewolves, huh? Fucking sweet!
Resident Evil 9.
Thank you to our radical Patreon member, Mr. Wright95, for submitting their awesome voice. Ja, dude, I love the new direction of the new Resident Evil games. I'm thinking they're gonna be hot and hip with the kids. Hello, fellow teens. That's what our dad should say in the
news. Do we need to attack you specifically for a discovery I made over Twitter.com, or are we good?
Yeah, you can, because it's really funny.
So when we were doing our japes and jokes and ha-has about, haha, wouldn't it be funny if werewolves were in Resident Evil, Blake was not aware that there are currently in Resident Evil 8 werewolves in Resident Evil. So just so you all understand where we're all at, Blake was doing parody unbeknownst to the reality. So parody is dead is the problem.
You know, it's so dumb. It's like the moment I found that out, I looked at our art and I looked at the trailer that was just already written and being like edited. I'm like, man, this is a lot less funny now.
Well, no,
I thought we were doing something new, but it turns out I watched the trailer and I saw the images after you told me. I'm like, whoa, they did really just do a werewolf thing, didn't they?
Well, it's much funnier in the meta context because we were sitting around as a bunch of chuckle fucks like, wouldn't it be funny if Resident Evil put fucking werewolves in it? That'd be so stupid. And lo and behold,
you were serious or you were being sarcastic, and I was fully into it, and neither of us knew. We're fucking foolish idiots. And just the fact that I can't tell when you're being sarcastic and you can't tell when I'm being serious is just it's just so dumb. It's so bad.
We have created a nightmare factory, and while we are a little bit late to this one, we did end up, you know, a million monkeys, a million typewriters, somebody's gonna try to put werewolves in Resident Evil.
Okay, that's dumb. It's dumb. We're done. We fucking made a mistake. But I really like the trailer. I really like that we're leaning more towards doing like character skit drama stuff. Let us know how you guys like them. If you hate them, we're also down to hear it.
Like it's nug time, and we have very little amount of time to really hash out our nugs. So all right, I think
it's Suburban Dad Simulator.
It's the Suburban Dad Simulator. It has to be our Suburban Dad Simulator.
Oh, you know, we've danced around creating
this game for so long, and here it is. What do you want to?
We call it the Burbs.
The Burbs.
Yeah, you ever heard that? That's like that's what like a lot of people in LA how they describe the suburban areas of of LA. Sorry, I have a lot of werewolf laughter still in my eyes. And
I've heard it called suburbia. I've never heard it called the Burbs.
Suburbia. Okay, how can we add some, like, the Yakuza thing? Because they're like, do we call it Suburbia Zero? But, like, not the actual number. Like, you actually spell out Zero. Zero. God, wow, I'm a foolish fool. Suburbia Zero? Well, let's sit on that for a minute. Let's talk about
some of the other mechanics. Yeah.
So the end game is that you're trying to get your relationship meter with all of your family to 100, right?
Yes.
So that requires like any relationship being there for if you miss, you can miss things. Like you can miss like, oh, you accidentally,
you can miss your
middle-list
kids, like sporting events, and that's going to hurt your score for them.
Mm-hmm. And then that could have rippling effects that make further things more difficult. You also need to make sure you're balancing your income so you can be able to be like, hey, I want to treat my family to a really nice dinner of cheesy fries at the bowling alley.
Yeah. Like, for example, if you miss your, if you miss like your middle-list kids, like sporting events time and time again, you're, that kid's just going to stop telling you where their games
are. Oh shit. Interesting.
So you'll have to hunt it down yourself and like make, put in the extra effort to make good by that.
This implies that there's multiple endings to this game, huh? Or is it just like you take it until it's done kind of
thing? I think you take it until it's done. I don't think there's like different, different
love,
endings.
Love
I do
and
think
hug
that your process to get there is reactionary, right? The kids will stop giving you tool tips if they feel that you're not interested in it. They're going to like, maybe they're going to be out of the house. I imagine especially the oldest will just be out of the house for longer times if they're not really interested in being there.
You know, it'd be kind of sweet too. The idea of meeting some, like meeting other kids on your travels that can serve as like, you see like the other people's relationships with their kids, and that's like our characters kind of mirror to themselves. So it'd be like, hey, you see this other dad who's constantly doing X activity with their kid. Oh, like in any open world game, there's like just a set group of people you run into, and every time you run into them, you get like a small update on their life. So there's like a bunch of other stories in the world that you can see. You can always, you, as you're exploring or doing contract activities or whatever, you're constantly running into other dads and their kids.
You can go camping with the other dads and get special grill scenes where the two dads will bond over a grilled meal together. And you'll get like this cool conversation, a conversation I certainly can't write, but a conversation between dads about being dads, helping other dads.
Dad tips. Our dad starts a YouTube channel called Dad Tips. And everybody, actually, no, that's, our dad doesn't do it because our dad isn't tech savvy. But you find another, because our dad
doesn't. You find a social media influencer dad.
You find a, because that's so big right now, is like those social media families.
Yeah, you find a the family vlogger. Maybe the family vlogger is the dad that like also goes to the sporting events.
And then you get a really awkward scene where like the one social media dad is doing a selfie mode and he pulls our character into the frame. It's like, hey, I've met this guy. We're going to do some dad tips today. Hey, what's your favorite dad tip? And there's just this really awkward silence of like, our dad not knowing what the fuck to say is like, just that shows that, oh, he needs to learn how to be a dad. That's his arc, you know?
Yes, maybe that's because a game like this, like what makes Yakuza so nice is like, we mentioned before that Kiryu is like the main character of Yakuza. Kiryu is the kind of person that like takes on all of life as intense as he would a street fight. What is it about our character that we want to explore? What I think is worthwhile and why I kind of want to put in this like mechanic about like, oh, you have to hunt down where your kids' sporting events are if you're like not reactive to that. Maybe the issue is that up until this point, this character always did what he was told. What if the whole like the reason why he took the fall and like wound up in jail and is now coming out and like trying to make like himself just like live a normal life now
is
because he was told to take the fall.
Oh, so is it? It's also a story of, well, I don't know if you can communicate those themes through a schedule, because I feel like if you have a character who's dealing with that problem, their thing would be, then become, would, their arc would be throw the schedule out the door and live your life according to what you want to. So I don't think you can.
Or is the lesson to schedule the things yourself? Maybe you're a dad that lives by the schedule. You become a dad that lives by the schedule, that gets to put out the schedule. You're the dad. You get to decide whether or not your oldest is staying home for the weekend.
I don't think our parents decided when you and I had to go to our sports games.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, yes, you can make that be like, yes, okay, I see what you're saying. Outside of the sports games, that's definitely possible. Like something that you have to go out of your way to schedule is like, you have to go find everybody in the day and say, hey, we're going to do this tonight. We're going to do this on Saturday. We're going to, like, it's about,
I would like to cook you all beef stroganoff for dinner tonight.
And then smash cut to him cooking beef stroganoff, watching the dude, the dad tips video on how to cook beef stroganoff.
And like that, and that's what you would do. I think maybe that's what you do with the free time. You mentioned that like, oh, you have all this time during the day that you don't really know what to do. Maybe you're just doing optional objectives. You, the player, would say, I want to cook beef stroganoff for the family. And so you would go to the store, you would get the ingredients, you would build out that mission for yourself.
Okay. I think we have talked a lot about how to build your relationship with your family and stuff, and then like there's some conflict there, but there isn't a greater conflict, I don't think.
No.
Like in Yakuza, it's his past, he's trying to solve something from his past life, and that past life is fighting back. In this is my immediate like go-to would be something from his past life is now in this town as well and complicating these things. Because I don't think you can have these activities can only be interesting, I think, if they're in the long run. I think they could be fun very early on, but something to keep you going through them is that greater conflict. So I think you could maybe introduce the optional ending thing where...
I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't think that you need to have like an overarching like dread moment to like culminate the story. I think that having these little arcs about you like making right with every family member can be enjoyable in their own way.
I guess I don't know because if you're setting up that it's why would you set up that they are X crime and without leaning into that as a story, you know what I mean? Like, it would just be like, why? Okay, so they're ex-crime and they're away for a while. I feel like you as a audience member would be like, oh, I'm interested to see how that's going to affect current events. So maybe it could be, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm thinking a little bit too dramatically here. Maybe it needs to be that there's some activity that all of the dads are competing for. In the town, they have the biggest thing that this town is known for is celebrating its parents. And once a year, there's this competition called the Best Parent Olympics or whatever. So maybe that's the thing you're working towards. Is like that's why I'm saying if this is taking place over the course of like a much smaller amount of time.
I see what you're looking for, like what's going to trigger credits?
Building towards what's like the conflict? Why are the dads competing with one another? So what I'm saying is the dad comes back the month of this big parent Olympics. And at the beginning, it's not even a thought that you're going to be in it. But as the game goes on, you're like, oh shit, I want to be a part of this parent Olympics and prove that I'm the best dad in town. So that would be why all of the dads are kind of at each other's throats in a very playful, conflicting way. That's why, and also moms. I think it should also introduce moms and other types of parents into this scenario as well. So you are competing with other dads and other moms and other parents for over the course of this month to train, build your better relationship with your family, learn about your competition and your dad and the other dads or parents in the neighborhood. And then the game kind of culminates to this big dad event. And this is how we'll play it. The time doesn't move like it does in Dead Rising, where it's like very like fixed. It's you can't get to this Olympics until you build a solid relationship with your family in game.
Yeah, it's characters will say like, oh, it's been a month or something like that. But it's been longer.
Yeah, so it'll be like, so at the beginning of the game, we never say it's like, it's a parent Olympic season.
Yeah, I don't say like, yeah, you don't give it X amount of time. It's the season for it. That's a good way to skirt around that.
All right.
Hey,
yeah,
Blake?
Yeah, what's up?
I think that's a game.
That is a game. Well, we got to figure out what to call it. I think Suburbia is pretty good, but I think we could lean into the parent aesthetic a little bit, or the dad aesthetic, because our main character is a dad.
I was thinking about, can we get into like the criminal aspect, and I was thinking Suburbia Underground.
Underground dad. The dad underground.
You want to put dad in there somewhere?
I don't know. Like, our main character is a dad, and it's the game is about him becoming a better dad. And I don't think I want to lean into the criminal thing, because it's not at all like what the game's about.
What about, might I suggest, Welcome to the Fatherhood?
Welcome to the Fatherhood.
Rather than Neighborhood? I don't know if that translated well enough.
Well, it actually read like a cult to me.
Welcome to the fatherhood.
That's because it sounds like brotherhood, huh?
Dang. Yeah, a little bit.
What if we just use the Godfather font and just put it as the father?
So dumb. Okay. I think the father will work, and then we put it in the Godfather font.
Okay. Father.
You feel good about that?
I can live with that. Yeah.
Are we ready to go to patch notes?
I'm ready to go to patch notes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. For my birthday this year, I would love for you to go and vote. This year is a very important year for a lot of us. For those in the States, I know we have a couple of people outside the USA, but those that are here, I would very much appreciate that you get out there and go use your right. Go vote.
And that's all he wants for his birthday. Can you please give him that? Please, for Blake's birthday, go get him a vote. Please, please, please go vote for Blake's birthday. It's all he wants. It's all he's been asking me for the last 8 months. He just said, AJ, sir, I sure do hope that when my birthday comes around, people vote for my birthday. Nothing would make me happier than seeing people be like, happy birthday, Blake. I voted today.
So, yeah,
so make sure that you go out and vote for him. For him? Yeah. For him?
For him?
For him?
It's the last week, and that would be really, really awesome. Other than that, we hope you stay safe out there, stay healthy, share some laughs with your friends, go play Rec Room and go destroy Hot Flamingo.
Pick up a child and chase down a Pokemon. As always, everybody, our intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anamanaguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games. Blake, you need to say it.
That should not be made.
Why did you wait like that?
Huh? There was like a huge delay.
Oh, was there?
Because your voice glitched out and was like, and these are cool games. And then I waited till the S sound was done, and then I did it. You want to try it again?
Nope, that's all staying in.